Hey everyone, Pastor Harv here. Thank you for tuning in today. I hope this message blesses you with hope and energizes your walk with Jesus Christ. Share this with someone today and spread the joy to those in your life. Stay tuned to the very end. Let's jump right into the Word.
When Philip shared his scripture and I said, he has no idea what confirmation that is to where I've been in the scriptures this week. And then y'all sang the song, Make Room, just another confirmation. I think it'll come together in a few moments. I'll try not to belabor this and I won't keep you any longer than the Holy Spirit keeps us. But I feel led to share this word in the book of Acts, chapter 10. The word said, now there was a man in Caesarea named Cornelius. He was a centurion of what was called the Italian cohort. He was a devout man who feared God with all of his household. He is not yet saved through the Redeemer, the Savior, the King of Kings, and the Lord of Lords. But God is inviting us to think about what his word says. He made every charitable contribution to the Jewish people, and he prayed continually. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God who had just come in and said to him, Cornelius. Then we jump to verse 9. And on the next day, as they were on their way and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop. Cornelius is in Caesarea. Peter is in Joppa. He's there to pray. He becomes hungry. He wants to eat. But while they are making preparation, he falls into a trance. He sees a vision. The sky opens up and an object like a great sheet comes down, lowered by four corners to the ground. And on it were all kinds of four-footed animals and crawling creatures of the earth and the birds of the sky. And in verse 44, while Peter was still speaking these words into the house of Cornelius, the Holy Spirit fell upon those who were listening to the message. Would you pray with me and for me this morning, God? I pray that you would baptize, sanctify your word through the power of the Holy Spirit. I pray, God, today that you would anoint me to speak the word of truth and anoint your people to hear it, to respond to it, to receive it, to retain it, God, that they would live Jesus in every day and every circumstance of their lives. I pray, God, that your blessing would be upon our families and upon our church, and that, God, you would expand our vision so that it brings glory to the kingdom of God. I love you, God, and I praise you in Jesus' name. And amen. Would you turn to just someone, not out of formality, but would you really love someone? Just put an arm around someone, encourage someone. Maybe you need to step across the aisle. What makes the United States such a formidable foe to all of our enemies and around this world is this mindset within the United States that if you mess with one of us, you mess with all of us. If you attack one of us, we don't respond individually, but we respond as one nation under God. When you attack the United States, you attack us as a people. Every citizen has a right to defend themselves. Israel has 1.5 million troops in reserve. Since 1949, Israel has enforced mandatory military service. This is a tough neighborhood. Most of those close by don't even want Israel to exist. For 70 years, Israel has now kept its war record intact. attacked. Invading armies cannot get in. But not only that, when an Arab coalition tried to surprise them at Yom Kippur in 1973, Israel almost took Cairo and Damascus in the process. That may not mean much to you, but it will. The enemy of the soul that you fight today despises the fact that you even exist, especially beyond Sunday morning, especially beyond Sunday evening and Monday morning and into the week. He despises the fact that you have the potentiality to not only be saved and redeemed and set free and changed, but that you have opportunity to receive and to be empowered by the third person of the Godhead himself, the Holy Spirit, that has just been birthed like a rushing mighty wind in the very second chapter of Acts itself. He wants to eliminate you. He wants to eliminate the work of your church and your family. If he cannot get you through one surprise attack, he will try to get you with another. I tell you today that after 2,000 years, the church has been attacked and the enemy has tried to invade God's people. But after 2,000 years, our war record is still intact. They tried to stamp us out. They tried to control us. They tried to put us under their feet. But our God is an awesome God, and the church still prevails today. Amen. The Christ, the King, the returning Messiah of the church has never lost a battle. And every invading army is still trying to find a way to get to us. But the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. If you keep reading that word, it tells us that we are ready to revenge for the sake of the Almighty against those who come against the higher calling of God Almighty. Hear me when I tell you that we have been called to do more than defend our territory. Stay on our side of the tracks. Called to do more than let devils dictate how we are to live. It is my duty to tell you that we have been called to expand the kingdom. We have been called to open up borders, to increase what belongs to the Almighty on this earth. We are empowered with authority in the church of the living God. We are not weak-kneed. We are not trembling at the presence of the enemy, but we tremble in the presence of a holy God. Amen. Somebody clap your hands and just praise him one more time in his head. Cairo is the largest city in Egypt, with a metropolitan population of over 20 million people, predominantly Muslim. But Cairo is also a town in southern Illinois with about 3,600 people. God said, if you're willing to receive it, I'll give you big borders and I'll give you small borders. I'll tie every city, I'll tie every family, every personality within reach together for my glory, that the name of Jesus Christ might be magnified and lifted up in our communities. He said, behold, I am the Lord God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Damascus, where was Paul headed in Acts chapter 9, the previous chapter? He's headed to Damascus. It is the capital of Syria. Since civil war began there in 2009, it has been named the world's least livable city. 1973 Yom Kippur, the influence of Israel is so massive, they stopped just short of Cairo. They stopped just short of Damascus. Their power, their influence is fortified, and the fortitude is there by a God who is mighty and who has kept his hand on that nation, on his people, and on the church that was birthed there for over 2,000. Get ahead of myself. Can you hear the voice of God declaring, I will take down spiritual capitals that have raised their head against my church and my people? Don't live in fear. Don't get worried and worrisome with the events of the day and the media. Political strongholds are being broken even as I speak this morning. It may seem like evil is in control. It may seem like perverseness rules the influence of the land. But I tell you today that our God is a mighty God, and he is still in control. Hey! What has been unlivable and unbearable for you? For my people, I hear the voice of the Lord saying, soon they will know life and life more abundantly. Jesus said, I'll give it to you. The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But he said, don't you ever forget I showed up. Don't you ever forget I walked this earth as a man. Don't you ever forget I know your feelings and the feelings of your infirmities. I suffered that you might live. I'm in control, and I have ordered life for my people. Hey. I've never knocked on a pulpit like I do here. The Latin name for Damascus means well-watered land. Doesn't that tell you that God has a will and a plan for dry places in our lives? Chapter 41, verse 18, Isaiah said, I will open rivers on the barren heights. I'm speaking to somebody in this house. You have written off a portion of this community. You have written off a portion of your family. But he said, I will open rivers on the barren heights, the fountains and fountains in the middle of the valleys, and I will turn the desert into a pool of water and the dry land into flowing springs. That's the word of God. God can reach Damascus, and God can reach the house of Cornelius, and God can reach the house of Russell, the house of Wilson, the house of Harris, the house of Reed, the house of Kaiser, your house and my house. He is God, and he is still in control. Yeah. And when you have made up your mind to stay out of it, God says he cannot stay out of it. A church needs to be ready. God said, I'll change your borders. I'll change your thinking. Listen to me. This is not about changing weapons. Some of us, our greatest weapon is not our 2020. It's not our 20, it's not our 30-30. My dad has an old 30-30 given Winchester from his dad, and we have he has a few guns in the family. And so, but our ministry and our mission is not about changing weapons. It's not about debating weapons. It's not about fussing over weapons. It is about adding to the arsenal of the church. It's where God raises up your talent and your ability and your spiritual gifts to benefit the kingdom of God. He raises it up in me and through me so that we are better equipped to tear down the walls of the enemy in our lives. And if you want the tough neighborhoods, and you want the best testimonies, and you want the dry places to be watered again, it's not enough to just stay out of it. You've got to get up. You've got to pray for it. And God said, you've got to go after it. God said, I'm trying to expand your borders. I'll give you hope for women. I'll give you City of Lights. I'll give you small groups. I'll give you the beggar off the street. But you've got to be willing to expand your borders. So we're in Acts chapter 10, verse 3. And Cornelius, who is a Gentile, receives a vision. He is a captain. He belongs to the Italian army. Can't you hear him? Mamma mia, it's Peter at the door. He leads some 555 infantry and 66 cavalry. The word said he fears God with all of his house. Tell your neighbor, you're never too far from vision. Tell somebody, you're never too far from vision. I need a vision. You need a vision. The church needs vision. I found this vision, it seems like should be easy simply because God gives it, but I have learned in my life that vision is anything but easy. It's not always that easy to define. For some, it's a catchphrase. For some, it's a slogan. As long as we've got it on our walls, we're okay. We don't have to live it out. We just need to look cool. The word tells us, Peter has a vision in the city of Joppa. Luke finds this very important. He writes the book of Acts. It's so important, Karen, that he tells us two times that Peter has this vision in Joppa. It's so important that he tells us four times that Cornelius has a vision in Caesarea. Again, you read the first two verses, doesn't seem to mean much. Let me tell you why. Peter is struggling with vision on that rooftop in Joppa and why he is struggling with going to Caesarea. Well, the word says that Cornelius is a devout man. He shouldn't have any problem. He's not going to be kicked away or pushed away. He's a devout man. He hears from God. Why is he struggling? It's not just Jew or Gentile, but Caesarea is named after Caesar Augustus. It is the center of Roman admin. It is of the entire Judean region, Rome sends their leaders to Caesarea. It has a temple dedicated to Caesar. Jews despise Caesarea. As a matter of fact, in the day of Peter, they don't even consider Caesarea to be a part of the Judean plot. They despise it. They can't stand Caesarea or anyone there. The population has more Gentiles than it does Jews. Riots between the two groups will set off the Jewish war against Rome in 66 AD. Listen to this. The entire Jewish population of 20,000 at Caesarea will be massacred in that same year. Peter is having trouble with his vision. God has to show him three times, you've got to go to Caesarea. The first Gentile Jesus ministers to is a centurion. It's a centurion at the cross that says, surely he was the Son of God. Jesus has this heart for centurions. He has this burden for centurions. And Peter despises them. I can't stand them. Those that others would ignore and resent. Jesus says, this is what gets you. This is what got me this week. You've been to Acts 2. You've already been to the upper room. You've been endued with power from on high. You've been there when they start speaking to the nations in other tongues and their own tongues. And 3,000 and 5,000 have been saved. You've been there. And Peter is struggling with his vision on top of a roof in Joppa. I don't know about you. I've been in this a long time. I've pastored over 30 years. My dad loved my mom. They've led us in the way since we were babies, since we were boys, in the ways of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you that there are still times I wrestle with my vision on top of a roof in Joppa. There are times, just like Philip said this morning, when God says, I need you to love, I need you to forbear, I need you to care about so-and-so. And you're like, God, I don't care about them. Do you know how they treated me? And there are times, Joey, when I say, God, I don't want you to care about them either. That way, I'm holy and I'm right with you and everything's okay. As long as you don't care, I don't have to care. And God says, no, 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 no. Peter is having trouble with his vision. He is not a fan of Caesarea. I have issues that I wrestle with on my roof. I have Joppa moments. I don't ever want to be a fraud. I don't ever want to be a fake. I don't ever want to just be a facade in this pulpit on Sunday moments, on Sunday mornings and in those moments. The one thing that I don't ever want to do is stand before you and misrepresent who I am or what I am. And I'm just here to tell you today that I still have Joppa roof moments. I still have power. I still have glory on my life. Peter is filled with the Holy Ghost. And all the while, the word says that Cornelius has positioned himself well. Listen, you've got to hear me this morning. I'm not trying to tell you what to do. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited. But we have to understand current positioning. You understand what I'm saying? What God is doing right now, the wave that we are to ride, the wave of the Spirit and how that we are to move in Him, we live and move and have our being. There are times on my Joppa rooftop that I may not like this method as well as I like another, but it's reaching the masses, reaching the unchurched, reaching the unknowing. You've got to be sensitive on your rooftop. And Cornelius prays. He's a praying man. And he puts himself in this position to receive something from God that he doesn't even know that he needs. There are too many people trying to get something they have not positioned themselves for. And I did this, and the pastor kept asking me to do that. I wanted my way, and God said, my ways are higher than your ways. I've got to put myself in a position. I'm giving, I'm loving, I'm caring, I'm a devout man. I fear God with all of my house. We don't even fear God with our next move sometimes. We're strong men. We have a great career. We have honorable intentions. We're well respected in the community. But have you had a God moment lately? Have you had a Joppa moment in a while? Glory, shut up, Okiyatai. If I can't stop talking about how many enemies surround me, how tough my neighborhood is, if I can't stop talking about how great my 70-year record is in the church, Cornelius says, what is it, Lord? Am I speaking to anybody today that can say, God, give me more? When I didn't deserve mercy and grace and peace, God gave more. I didn't deserve a home. I didn't deserve a faithful wife or a faithful husband, but God was faithful through it all, and He still gave me more. Would you lift your hand as a testimony to that glory, to that? Vision will never let you be content. How do you know, Pastor? The word said, without a vision, the people, what? They perish. Jeremiah said, beware the prophet that speaks the vision of his own mind, not from the mouth of the Lord. Habakkuk 2:2, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets so he may run also who reads it. I didn't know I would have to do anything with the vision. Now you're telling me I've got to run with it. Listen, vision absolutely breaks down anything that will not let you run. It takes the chains off of anything that will not let you be free. Vision is always setting someone else up to run. I believe that God has called Summerton to run. To run. To run. If I'm not here tomorrow, if I'm gone next Sunday and a different person stands in this pulpit with the word of God and delivers that word faithfully, God's vision for His church is to run with who we are now and not just what we've been, because anybody can pray on a rooftop in Joppa, but will you hear God? And listen. The enemy tried to take Paul out, but Paul took Damascus in the process. Acts chapter 9, one chapter back. Do you hear me? I've been this close to God like Cornelius. But if I keep my ear, I'm speaking just like me. You've been in churchdom. You've been a Christian for 75 years, 60 years, 50 years, 25 years. I've been this close to God like Cornelius. But if I keep my ear close to his voice, someone is about to speak the Messiah into my life. There is another step. There is a place where vision runs. Yes, I've been good. Yes, I've had it good. But God wants Jesus alive in his church. Amen. And in his people. And he is about to connect Cornelius to Peter. But you said he's wrestling on the roof. Yes, but Peter is the one who prays at the end of Acts chapter 9. After you've heard all about Damascus and heard all about Paul, Peter is the one who is praying. And Acts chapter 9 tells us that Tabitha is raised from the dead. Listen, vision will not connect you to just any old people. I appreciate the past. I appreciate the blessings of yesterday. I appreciate people that could tell me all about it. But if all I ever hear is about what God did yesterday, they're not helping me today. I need someone who can speak Jesus into me today, right here, right now. They can go out and not just testify about yesterday, but testify about what God did yesterday and how God set you up for today and what you see God doing for tomorrow. And it won't connect you to just any old people. It won't connect you to self-absorbed obsession. Vision won't connect you to fads that fade and cultures cascaded and cool. Vision won't connect you with lifeless entities whose only legs to stand on are tradition and reverse trajectory. Vision connects you with dead, raising people and faith. Peter has some hang-ups that he has to get past, but dead raising power is on the inside of this man, but there is now a humility about how to receive vision. When Jesus said, you'll deny me, every one of you, Peter said, not me, Lord. Even if I have to die with you, I won't deny you. I said, really? Not just once, but twice, three times. And there's this immaturity in Peter. He's got bravado. He's got brash. He's got confidence. I'll die with you, Lord. He says, no. Before the cock crows, he said, you'll deny me three times. You'll turn your back on me. As a matter of fact, you'll be so adamant about it, you'll curse. You'll lose control. You'll fly off the handle. But not now. Now there's a man on the rooftop that's been humbled by the cross. He's been humbled by the resurrection, and he's been humbled by the power of God that took place in that upper room. And this time, he said, God, it may take three times, but I'm listening. I hear you. You have my attention. And if you want me to speak into the life, if you want me to mentor someone else, if you want me to raise up someone that I... Listen, do you know what's going on in Caesarea, God? So I know. And while I'm speaking to you, I'm speaking to him. Amen. I'm praying that God will work in our lives like that. That we will run. That we will connect with one another. That we will connect with men like Peter that pray prayers like this. In Acts chapter 9, turning to the body of Tabitha, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes. And when she saw Peter, she sat up, and many believed on the Lord. That's who I want to hook up with. Whether it's in America, whether it's in Korea, wherever it may be. I want to connect with people that know how to say, get up and let's do this thing. She opened her eyes. She sat up. We can have a parking lot full of people that have a story and have a word. But we have to have a church full of devout men and women who know how to give and know how to pray and know how to fear God until the dead get up and God gives a fresh vision to his church. And if you're going to pray for me, don't pray for my demise. Some of you may be praying for God to run me out of town. No, you pray that God connects me with people like that. Pray for your board that God connects them with people like that. Pray for our staff. Pray for our leadership. That God's not connecting them to negative Nancy voices and negative Nurgle voices. That God's connecting our leadership to voices that hear the voice of God. Because anybody can complain and anybody can talk about themselves. And anybody can talk about your reputation and how much power you have with God, but can you still be humbled on a rooftop in Joppa after Acts 2? I say, God, what do you want to do with me now? Stand with me. Because I'll tell you where I am in my walk with the Lord. I'm on a rooftop in Joppa. Because no matter how many times I pray and how close I think I am to God, hear what I'm telling you this morning. It not only applies to me, it applies to you. I've not touched a dead man yet and watched him get up off the cot. I've not touched a dead man yet. And every funeral home I go to, every transitioning service from this life to the next, when Pastor Sargent transfers their membership, I've not touched a dead man yet and had them get up off the cot and walk as a living testimony to the life-raising power of Jesus Christ. Hear what I'm telling you. You can have all the words in the world you want. You can follow all the trends that you want to follow and listen to all the evangelists you want to listen to. And we can feel an Acts chapter 2 room full. But until we can hear God on the rooftop in Joppa, and we can say, God, here I am. What's my next step? What do I have to do to see the dead raised, the blind see, the deaf hear? I want to tell you something. Very humbly, I don't claim to know it all. But I've heard a lot of stuff out there for years. It don't add up scripturally. It doesn't add up scripturally. And so until I can get to that place where I see all of that fulfilled in my life, I don't have one little reason to judge anyone else in the process. Peter bows his heart, his mind, and his soul. And he said, God, I'll go. Verse 11 said that when he goes to Joppa and he ministers to the house of Cornelius, that he saw the heaven opened. I've known a lot of people that try to keep heaven closed. I can understand that. I don't understand that for a moment. Why in the world do we not want God's presence and an open heaven? I'll tell you why. Because heaven comes with a four-cornered sheet. And we can say all day long, oh, I'm open to the word of God. But there's prejudice in your heart of any kind. There's no justifying that. Period, ever. Right. If it's prejudice against black or white, it's prejudice against Jew or Gentile, It's prejudice against Tennessee Volunteer football fans. We may have had an Acts 2 experience, but we missed the Joppa Roof experience. And God said, I got to break it. Lonnie Love, come here and help me just a second. We talk about vision. Just turn your back to me and see if we can. Can we lock arms? I see a lot of people when you talk about vision and moving forward, they talk about vision all day long. But it's kind of hard to accomplish vision when you've got arms locked and opinions locked and minds made up that are contrary to the unity of the scripture. Listen, but when we turn like this and lock arms, it's a whole lot easier for us to go forward together. It's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier for Cornelius and Peter to walk together no matter what's going on in Caesarea. You lock arms together and you can walk through hell and high water at Caesarea all day long. I love you, Lonnie. I love you, Lonnie. Love. Pastor, what are you trying to tell? I'm trying to tell you that even mature Christians need paradigm shifts sometimes. We need to be reminded that we're never too good for a Joppa Roof experience, for God to speak truth into our lives. Verse 34 said, Peter opened his mouth and said of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, that he can save anybody. And I believe that God said, if you'll stop trying to get a sheet full of healing and a sheet full of attention and a sheet full of my way or the highway and a sheet full of finance and a sheet full of style. I hear God say, if you'll just let me pour it all out, when the shower comes, your healing will be in the shower. Your financial miracle will be in the shower. Your marriage whole and healthy in the shower. Open heaven! Will you pray for that with me right now in Summerton, in Door, Alabama, all over? Would you lift your hands right now? Would you pray for an open heaven? God, give us an open heaven in this church. I pray, God, if it's me, whomever it may be, God, if they need a rooftop experience today, if they need Joppa one more time in their lives, nobody's judging them. Nobody's saying they're not filled with the Spirit. They're just saying you need to hear from God again, and you need to be fresh, and you need to be ready. Can I say this? What time is it? We're fine. Your blessing this morning, I've heard people say this, just give me an open heaven. Your blessing is not in an open heaven. Your blessing is when you realize that heaven is entirely open. Amen? When God says, let me let down the sheet and I'll take care of the rest. Jim, Doc, come here. I felt impressed earlier, and when I looked back just then, I felt like God triggered that before service ever started today, that I'm to pray for you, I'm to join arms with you. I feel like our arms have been joined ever since we got here. And I'm to pray for you today. I'm to pray for your family. I'm to pray for all of us. Shared vision, continuity, faith being honored in Jesus' name. God, we love you. We praise you. Today there is none like you. Wholeness and health, God, vitality. Adam Russell, I want to pray for you. You've come to mind about three times. I won't embarrass you, I promise. Just however, wherever we can meet, right, that side will be better. That'll be fine. I believe in God's favor on your life. I believe it. You're a leader among men. God has been good. I love you. I praise you today. God, you've been, those that you've been good to, be even better to. God, you said those that you've given that do something with what you've given, that God, you will bless them again and again and again. Tenfold, 10,000 over, God. I pray today. I pray today. You've been faithful with backyard blessings. You've been, thank God, I pray today. Anoint her feet, anoint her hands. God, she would continue to find favor with you and that our students and our community. That they would be fed, they would be sheltered, they would be clothed. That God, they could reflect back and say, someone gave to me with the hands of the Lord. And because of that today, I'm a willing vessel. I know Jesus. Man, man, a man, a man. Jim Langley, let me pray with you. I know my son works with you, for you. But early this morning, your faith came to me, and I felt like God said, pray for the business, pray for all of his employees, God, that not only would they know the favor of a good boss, but they would know the favor of the Almighty, that they would know Jesus, and somehow Jesus would be shared. And God, every Joppa roof would be broken down, every Caesarea experience, God, would be overcome and flooded with the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I pray. I pray today, God, your favor. God, a season, a time such as this, you've brought her our way. Influence, God, influence. Order every step in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Man. Would you just love him today? Lift your hands. Would you just take a moment or two? Just let them play for a moment. Would you just worship him right now? Thank you. Is there anyone in this house today you know? It doesn't take me trying to make you feel guilty. You would say, Pastor, I know I'm not in right relationship with Jesus. Before I go home today, I want to know that I am. I'm not calling you out. I want to embarrass anyone, but you would just be honest. You would have a Joppa moment with God and I say, God, I'm not really in the right place I should be with you. If that's you and you would meet me in this altar, I promise you, I'll pray with you. I'll love you today. And we'll pray that God wraps his arms around you, brings you home, makes you whole, works in your family. You would say, Pastor, I need to be honest today. I'm coming. I want to make everything right with him. Anyone? Wow. Come on, guys. Come. I don't know of another young man that exemplifies humility and respect like this young man. And here he is. He said, hey, I need to touch heaven one more time. I want to know that everything is right with God. Lord, you're worthy. God, we praise you. How we love you, how we love you. Thank you. Bless his name. Can anyone say it's been good to have been in the house of the Lord today? It's been good to feel his presence, to know you.
Love you. Well, I hope you were blessed and inspired somehow by today's message. Here at Summerton Church of God, we believe that God still does the miraculous. We are seeing people's lives changed and transformed, healed and delivered, all to the glory of this incredible God. We want you to experience that for yourself and for your family. Why don't you be our guest one Sunday right here at Summerton Church? I look forward to personally seeing you.